Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love.
Okay, stop, hold on. That song is an abomination from the garbage dump of Gehinnom. Both of those terms are incorrect. The Jews are not the Israel of the Bible, and Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. It should be the two houses of Judah and Israel, which were reconciled in Yeshua, and are the two branches of the olive tree. Let's correct this.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another with humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love.
To the saints of the Most High, who know who you are and whose you are, and to the Gentiles, who have no idea who you really are, may the divine influence be with you. This is part 14 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. If you have been following since part 1, you should be proud of yourself for putting in the time, and you should now understand that you are an Israelite and abandon identifying as a trans-Gentile. Revelation 13 is a prophetic overview of the period of the 2520 years of Israel's punishment, the end of which began at the founding of this Christian nation, these United States. The House of Israel was divorced starting in 745 BC, which brings us to 1776. Part of the vision John saw was a seven-headed beast, and one head was wounded and healed. One head wounded was the Roman Empire, which had fallen in 476 AD, but the power of the papacy was the healing of the wound, hence the Holy Roman Empire. Many followed the power of the Pope whether they wanted to or not. Catholicism is not Christianity. Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Elohim, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. The power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All nations were under subjection. Of course, the Jew owns the Vatican and the Pope himself is a Jew, but all nations and races were under the power of the papacy. So we can see that G 1484 ethnos does not mean non-Jew. It simply means nations, and depending on context, defines which nations. The translators don't get to direct the context, but they have. Chapter 14 is another flash forward of Judgment Day, Revelation 14:6, and I saw another messenger fly in the midst of the sky, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, all referring to the nations of Israel whom the gospel message is for, which is proven throughout the Old Testament and the New. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, Fear Elohim, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the sky, and the land, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. For 2,000 years, the church has taken a very different path. They have not preached the original word, and replaced it, and declared the gospel of grace, of personal salvation, as the only gospel, accepted the Gentile doctrine, and that the Old Testament is about the Jews. Revelation chapters 14 and 15 are warning us of this era of the loosening of Satan from the pit, which we have endured since the French Revolution, the control of the international Jew, the yoke of Esau. Mystery Babylon risen, the Jewish matrix of deceit. The Reformation, the diminishing of the papacy, and the decentralization of power in Europe has led to all the social revolutions from the First French Revolution, the Bolshevik Jew Revolution in Russia, the two world wars and destruction of Germany, and into America, where the Antichrist Jews, who have been at the root of every single agitation and atrocity and social abomination, and they can conceal their crimes through the media which they own and control. Chapter 14 paints a picture of the time of Jacob's trouble, that the last period of world history before the kingdom of Yahweh is finally established. Verse 8, And there followed another messenger, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Ancient Babylon is fallen, but Mystery Babylon runs the show. The Jewish world system controlling international trade, the political, social, and religious systems, banking, agriculture, science and medicine, education, entertainment, and the media, basically everything. Verse 8 would include all the nations of the world. Revelation 15:3, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works. Yahweh Elohim Almighty, just and true are your ways, you King of saints. The song of Moshe and the song of the Lamb are the Old and New Covenants, Exodus 15:1. Saints are the called. Only Israelites are called. The Gentiles won't be singing the song of Moses because it's all about Israelites and the Old Testament, which the Gentiles believe are the Jews. Plus, they turn their backs on the Torah, the food laws, and put themselves in the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, which pertain to Israelites and not Gentiles. The Song of the Lamb is the fulfillment of the better covenant with the same peoples of the Old Testament and kinsmen of Christ, whom he came for. Plus, the Gentiles don't even obey the gospel or any of the laws Christ taught anyway. Their song is, I'm saved, I'm under grace, God is love, don't litter, accept Jewish Jesus into your heart. And their song has 33,000 versions. They don't fear what they have no idea will happen to them because of their delusional beliefs of personal salvation. Verse 4, Who shall not fear you, O Master, and glorify your name? For you only are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest. These nations would be those Israelites from among the nations of Jacob who in these last days have prevailed over the beast by not worshiping the beast. Revelation 17:14. These, the 10 kingdoms which formed the Holy Roman Empire, shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Master of Masters and King of Kings. And they that are with him are called, and chosen, and trustworthy. All descriptions of Israelites. Verse 15. And he said unto me, The waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Today the children of Israel are spread over the entire globe. The horns of the beast have long been stripping the whore and making her desolate. We unrighteous Israelites are the whore. The tribes of Israel are the bride of Christ, and when we seek other gods and race mix with other peoples, we are nothing but a dirty whore. The world doesn't hate the other races and nations. They hate us, white American Israelite people. Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another messenger come down from the sky, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Ancient Babylon has fell, and the falling of the Jewish-Babylonian usury system we are in today will fall when Christ returns. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the Jewish merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The once white Christian nations have become a dwelling place for demons and a prison for every unclean spirit and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. The other races are not called men in Scripture. They are referred to as beasts, fowls, broken cisterns, dogs, devils, and unclean. Jeremiah 31:27, Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. He demands we be separate from them, and when we join them, then we are in the doghouse with them. Mystery Babylon will be destroyed come judgment day. Verse 23, And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants are the great men of the earth, for by your sorceries, or pharmaceuticals, were all nations deceived. No more of our people buying the merchandise of these sheeny Jews, or by being poisoned by their pharmakia. Every nation is under their spell. Almost every person is beguiled by their enchantments. Verse 24, And in her was found the blood of the prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. The Jewish world of sorcery, pharmaceuticals, and multiculturalism and fornication, porn and race mixing and social deviancy and godlessness, the 33,000 so-called Christian denominations that worship Jewish Jesus, and everything else which the beast system represents, shall fall, and it shall all be destroyed, supplanted by the reign of Yahweh. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw a messenger come down from the sky, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. The dragon, that old serpent of old, is those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Judah, and are not. These are the Canaanite, Edomite Jews. When Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, laws were passed against the Jews in the 4th and 5th centuries, which excoriated the Jew from Christian society. It became unlawful for Jews to hold any public office or military position, to hold Christian slaves, or to loan money to Christians at usury. No one ever hears of the Byzantine Empire, which followed Christian principles and kept the Jews out of the society. In medieval Europe, those Jews who remained were forced to live in separate communities, but within those communities they were allowed their own laws. They were peacefully kept out of Christian society. The 1,000 years has passed, ending when Napoleon let the Jews out of the ghettos and all hell broke loose, literally. Christ did not say he was coming 3 times and doing a flyby before the 2nd time to rapture Gentiles away. Verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan and his Jewish children shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the 4 quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. This has already happened, and it is the very reason why all of the nations of the world are deceived and under the control of the international Jew today. Gog and Magog are the Jewish children of the synagogue of Satan, the Jews of the land of Magog, which is a reference to Khazaria, which 95% of Jews are Khazarian Jews, Ashkenazi. The other 5% are the Sephardic branch. All Jews are the literal children of the devil, descendants of Cain and of Esau, and Obadiah foretells exactly what happens to them. Chapter 21 reveals a vision of the fulfillment of the promise found in Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years which the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. The restoration of the children of Israel and the kingdom on earth. The churches teach the kingdom won't be on earth. They can have their Gentile kingdom somewhere in space with Jaime Jesus. The description of the New Jerusalem includes the bride, which is the children of Israel. No more tears, sorrow, or death. No more unbelievers, sorcerers, and whores. It will include the fountains of the water of life, and the city will have gates with the names of the 12 tribes of Jacob on them, and the foundation of the walls will have the names of the apostles in them. Beautiful stones and gems, gold and pearls. The city is 4 square, just as the tabernacle in the wilderness was 4 square. The sheet in Peter's famous vision of Acts chapter 10, which was not about pork, was 4 square. The breastplate made for the high priest, described in Exodus 28, was also 4 square. All of this helps to signify that the kingdom of Yahweh is meant for the children of Israel exclusively, because it is measured to fit Israel only. Neither is anyone else included in the list of inhabitants, not Jews, not Gentiles, and not any of the 33,000 apostate churches. Revelation 21:24, and the nations of them which are preserved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The nations which are preserved would be those of the children of Israel and the Adamic nations which sprung from the sons of Adam. Ezekiel 43:7, and he said unto me, Son of Adam, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. Why does Yahweh keep forgetting to include the Gentiles and the church? Because they are just not included. God doesn't love everybody like the churches teach. Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, DNA, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing, or service, of the nations. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isaiah 41:4, who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and with the last, I am He. Verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. It doesn't say 12 manner of fruits, and the Gentile church, and anyone who believes. And the reference of Isaiah says, calling the generations from the beginning, which is referring to the generations of Jacob, not the generations of Gentiles, which do not his commandments or love him. They love Jaime, and they claim they are saved already. No matter how you slice it, the Gentile doctrine is nothing but a mud pie. In Revelation, G1484 ethnos is used 22 times as nations, heathen, and Gentiles, and refers to both Israelites and non-Israelites, again exposing the fraud of the Gentile doctrine, just as every book of the Bible reveals the deception to those who understand and believe the word of Yahweh. To take the Hebrew goyim and Greek ethnos words for nations, which can mean any nation, and replace it with a Latin word gentilis, and build a fake doctrine upon it, and sell it as the word of God, is blasphemy, and those who believe it, keep it, and teach it, are twofold sons of Gehinnom. It matters who and what we believe. Phew, what a long series. If you still believe you are a Gentile and believe that what the churches teach about it, then either I have not done a good enough job explaining and demonstrating it, or don't know what the heck I'm talking about, or that Yahweh simply has no use for a Jaime Jesus worshiping stiff-necked trans-Gentile that would rather believe delusions. He lets his children have their delusions if they really want them, you know. An important thing to bring up is that not all the New Testament books have the word Gentiles in them. Isn't the New Testament supposed to be for the Gentiles and the church? because the tribes of Israel disappeared? Wouldn't you think the whole New Testament would be addressing Gentiles, since it's supposed to be for them? So which New Testament books don't have Gentiles? 2 Corinthians, where Paul addresses them as saints and brethren, because they are Dorian and Danan Greeks of the house of Judah. Philippians, were mostly Macedonian Greeks, Danan Greeks of the tribe of Dan, and Thracians and Trojans of the Zara branch of Judah. Paul addresses them as saints and brethren. 2 Thessalonians were to Greek and Roman Israelites and addressed by Paul as brothers. Titus was a Greek, an Israelite of the dispersed nations of Israel. He was in charge of the assembly in Crete, the largest of the islands of Greece. Philemon was a slave owner living in Colossae, an ancient city of Phrygia in Asia Minor. Hebrews was written to Israelites, which are Hebrews. Paul refers to the fathers, the prophets, and calls his kinsmen holy brethren. James is written to both houses of Judah and Israel. It opens the letter as James, a servant of Elohim and of the Prince Yeshua Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He calls them brethren. James is big on works and deeds, being doers and not only hearers of the word, that your conduct, actions, and works prove your belief, that you have the belief. 2 Peter addresses his brethren about the promises and their calling, and to not be deceived by the interpretations of Judeo-Christianity and their false teachers. 1 and 2 John, he addresses his brethren, exhorts them to walk as Christ walked, which was according to the Torah, commandments, and statutes given in the Old Testament, which the Gentiles have done away with, and to not walk according to society, which is satanic, and that the churches like to tolerate and make peace with. John also reminds his brethren about the promises made to their fathers. He also emphasizes doing righteousness, practicing it daily, not just on Sun God Day for an hour, which is fake and lip service anyway. 2 John was written to a Christian Israelite woman. John's ministry was at least 60 years, so this could be any woman. Lady is G2959 Kyria, and it may be a reference to a Christian Israelite woman, or may represent the bride, Israelites. The Lord, which should be Yahweh or Yeshua in the New Testament, is G2962 Kyrios. G2960 is Kyriakos, meaning belonging or related to Yahweh. He talks about her children walking in truth as they received the commandments to abide in the doctrine of Christ. So we know this letter is not to the Gentiles because they don't walk in the truth, obey the commandments, or abide in the doctrine of Christ. Jude is a general epistle to all Israelites. The theme and reason for writing are given: the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude describes the element of the enemy. These wicked people who were fornicators, who go after the way of Cain, who existed in old time, who seek actively to pervert the assemblies of Yahweh. Jude identifies the seed of Jacob as Yahweh's children, and the seed of Cain and Esau as the devil's children. These two seed lines are the enmity of Genesis 3:15. Let's close out this study with the overall total summary. Here's a quick recap of what we've learned about the word Gentiles. The Latin term gentilis came into the English language around 1300 AD and from the Latin Vulgate. The meaning of the Latin gentilis, the Hebrew goyim, and the Greek ethnos all mean a nation or race of people. The non-Jew meaning was later added and adopted in the 1600s. The translators selectively used the term Gentiles, which means they've changed scripture Many denominations use the term Gentiles to suit their own doctrine. Any use of the term Gentiles with the non-Jew meaning is an abomination and a deceptive tool to lead our people away from their true identity, their heritage, their God, and their deliverance. The contradictions of the non-Jew meaning of Gentiles is glaringly obvious. The descendants of Noah were not divided in their Gentiles, they were divided in their racial nation tribes. Abram was not going to be made a great Gentile, or be a father of many Gentiles. Abram became the father of many nations, and his offspring was going to be a great nation, which it has, the many white nations of the world. It can't be the Jews, because they are tiny in number, and aren't even a real nation. Besides, Yahweh said they would never have a nation, and will be vagabonds and wanderers, hence the international Jew parasite. Isaac's wife Rebekah was not a Jewess with two baby Gentiles in her womb, and Rebekah was not the mother of the Gentiles. Her two boys, Jacob and Esau, were white Hebrews. Jacob's children are the white nations and peoples, which are true Israel, and Esau's children are the raced mixed Canaanite-Edomite Jews, which pose as Israel. The two boys were Hebrews, but Esau despised his race and God, and made Jewish babies with satanic Canaanite wives, hence the two nations, or Goyim, in Rebekah's womb, which became two types of peoples, one satanic and born from below, the other born from above saints. Egypt did not become a Gentile, they became a great nation. Yahweh did not set apart the Jews to be a holy Gentile priesthood. He set apart the children of Jacob as his priesthood. The Jews are priests of Baal, child sacrifice, and their father the devil's desires. Amalek, the grandson of Esau, and the sons of Cain are Jews, and their tribes are Goyim in the Hebrew, which sometimes reads Gentiles, which only means they are a nation, and in their case, nations devoted to destruction. The Gentiles did not cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. Joshua did not circumcise all the Gentiles when they crossed the Jordan. Israelites are called Gentiles in the Apocrypha, which has been perverted as well, because Goyim just means nations. The Apocrypha is not about Jews. It's about white Israelites. In the Maccabees, they put Gentiles where it should read Greeks. The Maccabees were Israelites of the tribe of Judah and were fighting not only with the Greeks, but also Edomites of Idumea. In the Psalms, Israel was not a Gentile nation that will be cut off from being Gentiles. Isaiah prophesies to the hypocritical Israelites for being Gentiles. The outcasts that will be assembled of Judah and Israel are Goyim nations, the same word where Gentiles is usually placed. So are these outcasts of Israel Gentiles? No. Yahweh is not increasing Israelites as a Gentile nation. He's purging the unrighteous Israelites, and the righteous Israelites will increase as a nation. And they did. Can you say Europe and America? The once little Gentile of Jacob shall become a strong Gentile. Really? The once little nation of Jacob shall become a strong nation. The lost Israelites who forgot their heritage are Goyim, a lost nation, the same word where they usually put Gentiles. When Zion travailed, a Gentile was not born at once. A nation was born, America. It's not talking about Israel, which took decades to finally be stolen and occupied by Jews, and this was done through banking, the UN, the world wars, and deception, and is still not recognized as a nation, because Yahweh said they would never have a place of their own, and continually be vagabonds and wanderers, internationalists. And they are. Jeremiah was not the prophet of the Gentiles of Judah. He was the prophet of the southern kingdom of Judah. When the men of Judah and Jerusalem live in truth, somehow it's not the men of Judah, but the Gentiles that will bless themselves in Yahweh. When Yahweh was angry at the house of Judah in Jerusalem for their abominations, he said twice that his soul would be avenged on the Goyim, which is where the translators usually put Gentiles. Even though Jeremiah was the prophet of our Israelite ancestors and warned them of the coming punishment, the Gentiles are punished instead, probably because God got confused about who was who. Even though Jeremiah was told to speak the words of Yahweh to Jerusalem, somehow it was Gentiles that did not obey the voice of Yahweh. Even though the children of Israel were doing Yahweh wrong, Yahweh keeps saying he will be avenged on the Gentiles for it. Somehow the Gentiles have the same fathers as the Israelites who have inherited lies and vanities. Somehow the potter, Yahweh, who made the vessels, meaning the house of Israel, was going to destroy the kingdom and the temple and many of the people, apparently because the Gentiles won't repent. The Israelites served Nebuchadnezzar 70 years, but as a Gentile nation. Yahweh directly calls Ephraim, which is the scattered house of Israel, Goyim, and declares he will gather them. Goyim is replaced by the translators with Gentiles, but only when they can pull off the identity theft. Yahweh foretells of the new covenant he will make with the houses of Israel and Judah and write his law on their hearts. But he made a mistake. He meant with the Gentiles, which have done away with his law and fill their bellies with filthy swine and always have bacon on their heart and mind. And he also said if the ordinances of the celestial bodies depart, then the seed of Israel will cease from being a Goyim. Well, if the tribes of Israel disappeared, then why are the stars, sun, and moon still here? In the Old Testament, God does not allow the Gentiles into his congregation and sanctuary, but changes his mind in the New Testament, making himself and Malachi a liar. Yahweh did not send Ezekiel to warn the rebellious Gentiles of Israel. He warned the rebellious nations of Israel. The prophecy against Esau's children, the Edomite Jews of Mount Seir, is about their destruction because they said they would possess the two Goyim of Israel and Judah. So if the Jews aren't Gentiles, and the two nations of Israel and Judah are supposed to be Jews, the Jews are going to possess the Jews? Huh? Alexander the Great and the Greeks were Gentiles, which, if Noah and his son Japheth were Jews, would make Alexander and the Greeks Jews, because they descended from Javan, son of Japheth. And if Adam and Noah were Jews, and we all came from them, then aren't we all Jews? We are all Jews? Where are the Gentiles? Michael, the divine messenger, has not stood up for the children of Israel during times of trouble since they began to be Gentiles. In Joel, Yahweh says all Gentiles will be judged, but apparently the Gentile church won't, because they will get special treatment because God is love. In Amos, the house of Israel came to the distinguished elites of the chief of the Goyim, which is Judah. So, is Judah the chief nation or the chief Gentile? Yahweh will bring the remnant of Adam and all the Gentiles back to Jerusalem after captivity, so Nebuchadnezzar must have took the Gentile church captive along with the house of Judah. In Obadiah, Yahweh foretells the ultimate destruction of the Jewish children of Esau, which are a greatly despised nation, which is Goyim, which is Gentiles. In Micah, many Adamic and Israelite Goyim will seek the God of Jacob to learn his ways and his Torah. This can't be speaking of the Gentiles or the church, because they don't seek Yahweh, follow his ways, and have done away with his Torah. Yahweh will make the remnant of Judah that returns from captivity a strong Gentile. In Habakkuk, the Babylonians ruled over all the Gentiles of the land during their reign, even Jews, which are not supposed to be Gentiles, but are, because the word only means nations. In Zephaniah, Yahweh calls Israel a goyim not desired, and his people Israel goyim. So apparently Israelites are a people and nation not desired because they are Gentiles? In Haggai, Yahweh is going to shake all Gentiles. So are they going to be shaken or raptured? In Zechariah, many Gentiles participated in the affliction of Judah, but today the Gentiles love Judah and worship them because they think they are Jews. The 10 lost tribes of Israel know only the languages of the Gentiles. The remaining descendants of Israel, which came out of Egypt, are not Gentiles. In Malachi, the whole nation of Israel are apparently Gentiles that robbed God of tithes and curse him. Funny, though, that today's Gentile churches are the ones robbing God and cursing him with their counterfeit religion, sending their money to Israel or building expensive 501-c3 pagan temples they call churches with the money they steal from the Gentiles, and curse him by calling him Lord Baal and Haimi Jesus, done away with his laws, and teach their children that they are Gentiles and to accept Jewish Jesus so they can be raptured too, teaching them to be trans-Gentiles. In the New Testament, the theme and the meaning of the Greek word ethnos is the same as the Hebrew goyim in the Old Testament. Ethnos means a nation and does not mean Gentiles or non-Jew. But apparently in Matthew, the Israelite lands are called Galilee of the Gentiles, even though they are Israelite lands. Christ himself commanded his disciples not to go into the way of the Gentiles, but somehow the churches commanded Christ to accept them, because they are the ones that get to choose him, and get to choose to be raptured, and don't have to follow his laws because he is so loving and great, and will take them away before he judges the world, because they are under grace, and once you're saved, you're always saved. Even though in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says that the nations of Israel will be judged and in Yeshua's name they will trust, it somehow is for the Gentiles instead, probably because the tribes disappeared, because God couldn't preserve them. The kingdom of God is going to be taken from the Jewish Pharisees and given to the Gentiles, even though the kingdom is only fit and measured for Israelites. Nations shall rise against nations, but it'll only be Gentiles fighting each other and not Jews. The Jews hate violence and oppression. The foretold persecutions of the disciples will make them hated by all Gentiles for Christ's name's sake. That's probably why they don't believe their gospels and epistles and replaced the word ethnos with Gentiles, so they can change the message to suit their own idea of the path to salvation. All nations will be judged when Christ returns, but not the Jews because they aren't Gentiles, and not the Gentiles because they will be raptured. Even though Christ said to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and immerse them in the Word, and not to go to the Gentiles created their own rituals of baptism and dunk people in the name of Baal, the father of lies, the son Haimi, and the demonic spirits of the Holy Ghost. In Mark, even though the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah are spoken to and about the nations of Israel about the temple, making it a den of thieves, the Gentiles will call it the house of prayer, even though only Israelites are allowed in it, and it was destroyed before Gentiles even knew about it. In Luke, the Old Testament prophecies were about Yeshua being the light of Yahweh's people Israel, and was the consolation of Israel, and was to be the restoration of many in Israel, but somehow the Gentiles are taking this honor. The Roman centurion's servant loved Gentiles so much he made them a synagogue instead of making it for his own Israelite kinsmen who needed it. The time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled when the nations of Israel become a multitude of nations. How could this be possible, as the Jews are not Israel nor a multitude of nations, and besides, didn't the tribes of Israel disappear? The multitude was accusing Christ of perverting the Gentiles to Pilate, when in reality it's Haimi Jesus who is perverting the Gentiles. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all Gentiles. But isn't the law done away with, and all you have to do is just believe and say you're saved and wait for the rapture? In John, Christ told the Jews they can't find him and cannot go where he goes. They wonder if he will go to the dispersed Gentiles in Greece. But the Greek word Hellene was replaced with Gentiles, so he doesn't really know where he's going or who he's going to teach. The Jewish priests were worried that all the people will believe on Christ, and the Romans will take away the Jews' authority and occupancy and their Gentiles. Caiaphas said that Christ should die so that Caiaphas's Gentiles perish not. Caiaphas also knew that the children of Israel were Gentiles scattered abroad. In Acts, there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every Gentiles under heaven. Herod, Pilate, the Jewish Sadducees and Pharisees, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together against Christ. Everyone played a part, showing that Gentiles just means nations. Yeshua said Paul was a chosen vessel unto him to teach the Gentiles, even though he told him not to teach the Gentiles. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel was really for Gentiles that fear him. On the uncircumcised Israelites, the Holy Spirit was poured out as well, but they were called Gentiles for some reason. Yahweh had destroyed 7 Gentiles in the land of Canaan in the Old Testament. He destroyed 7 nations, and they were Canaanite, fallen angel offspring, and Jewish nations, showing that Goyim and Ethnos only means nations and not non-Jews. Christ commanded the apostles to be the light of the Gentiles, even though he said, "Don't go to the Gentiles." The Israelites living in Greece were called Hellene, but somehow became Gentiles when they believed. In times past, when Yahweh allowed the children of Israel to walk in their own ways, they were Gentiles back then. The apostles were constantly going to the Gentiles when Christ said, "Don't." The apostles ignored their own Israelite kinsmen and, against Yahshua's commands, kept bringing the gospel to the Gentiles instead. In Acts, the Gentiles were zealous of the law, which proves these are not Gentiles, but rather are the lost Israelites that responded to the gospel. Gentiles are not zealous of the law. The churches did away with the law. They eat unclean animals, race mix, and give offerings to satanic Jewish Jesus. In chapter 24, Paul did not bring alms to his Gentiles. He brought alms to his nation, Israelites. And from his youth, he didn't live as a Pharisee among his own Gentiles. He lived among his own nation and persecuted them. In Romans, Paul is not addressing his Israelite kinsmen to be obedient to the faith of the Gentiles, because their faith is in Happy Meal doctrines and of personal salvation and Haimi Jesus. He also tells his Israelite brethren not to be intrigued by evil and untruth, and that tribulation will be upon every man that does evil, the Judeans and the Gentiles, which replaced the word Hellene, which are Greeks, and if you remember from the Old Testament examples, are descendants of Javan, a grandson of Noah, who is supposedly a Jew, which would make these Greeks Jews, which they are not. Even though the prophecy of blaspheming God's name is given in Isaiah about the Israelites in captivity, it was written because of Gentiles. Yahweh is the God of the Judeans, but not the house of Israel, whom he came for, because apparently they disappeared and were replaced with Gentiles. Paul reiterates in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was the father of many Gentiles. Not only were the lost Israelites of Paul's time not called God's people, but so are our ignorant kinsmen today not called God's people. They're called Gentiles. And back then they were called pagan, common, and profane. Paul was reminding them who they were and whose they were, just like today. We try to teach our deceived Gentile-identifying brethren that they're not Gentiles and that they are the children of the living God. The house of Judah was not jealous of the foolish Gentiles. They were jealous of the common or profane Israelites in Greece, which were pagan and were under the same better covenant as those Israelites in Jerusalem. In Romans chapter 11, those Israelites that stumbled and were cast off for their sins are not condemned. Paul tries to provoke them which are of his flesh, meaning his kinsmen, to repent and return to Yahweh, and does not want the brethren to be ignorant of the mystery of blindness that happened to Israel, until the fullness of the nations of all Israel be come in. But apparently, instead of Israel, it's really the Gentiles that were cast off, blinded, and reconciled. Even though in chapter 15 the references of Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel, and Psalm and Isaiah are speaking of Israelites singing and praising God's name, it was really about Gentiles. In Corinthians, Paul specifically addresses these Israelites as genetic brethren of the flesh, talking to them about the cup of blessing, communion, and partaking with sacrifice to idols, that you can't do both, that if you needed to eat and had to buy food, which most of the time was sacrificed to idols, don't partake in the sacrifice, just buy it, take it home, pray over it, and eat it. Don't be a burden to one another if others have more or less of a conscience about it. Don't give offense to the Judean or the Gentile, which actually replaces Helene, which is a Greek, which are descendants of Japheth, son of Noah, tenth from Adam, who is supposedly a Jew, which would make everybody Jews, again showing that Gentiles just means nations. In chapter 12, for some reason, Paul calls his Israelite brethren Gentiles, which were carried off to Assyria and Babylon in bondage, which no Jew has ever been under. Paul teaches that we are all one body, and rather than being a pure, unmixed race which Yahweh created and demanded us to remain, he changed his mind and said, "Everybody fornicate and drink of the same spirit." I kind of like the Jews' idea of turning all the different races into the brown man. In Galatians, Paul reminds the assembly that he used to be zealous for the Jews' religion of Talmudic Satanism, which they call Judaism, and hunted down his own nation, which were Israelites, and jail or kill them. That Christ told him he was to preach to the Gentiles, and he was confused about it, but then he remembered that Christ said he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and commanded not to go to the Gentiles, because that word was later used to deceive the whole world. And that Christ meant to go to the Goyim, the Ethnos, and the Helene of Israel and bring them the good news. In chapter 2, Paul had to reprimand Peter for eating with the Gentiles, because pork had just recently been cleansed by Christ, and all-you-can-eat buffets were popping up all over the place. And that if Peter was a circumcised Judean and his Gentile buddies were uncircumcised, why was he compelling them to live after the manner of the Judeans? But at the same time, he was living as the Gentiles. But these weren't Gentiles, they were Israelites who forgot they were Israelites. In chapter 3 of Galatians, where Paul is talking about the children of Abraham, to the children of Abraham, about the prophecy of the gospel justifying the children of Abraham, somehow it was actually about the Gentiles. And that the promises that were made with the children of Abraham are now shared with Gentiles, that when they believe, they too become Abraham's children. These believers must be trans-Gentiles. If God made a mistake with the gender of people who believe they are the opposite sex, and they can become the opposite sex, then Gentiles can believe that they can become Israelites. In Ephesians, Paul is addressing Israelites and reminds them that their forefathers and themselves are children of disobedience because they broke the covenant, and reminds them that they were Gentiles in the past in the flesh. So does that mean that the Israelites were once alienated Gentiles? And were the two sticks prophecy about making Jews and Gentiles into one stick? Well, the prophecy in Ezekiel about it states the two sticks are Israel and Judah. In chapter 3, even though Christ said not to go to the Gentiles, Paul was a prisoner for the Gentiles, and he was supposed to go to the lost nations of Israel, but he decided to be the family manager of the Gentiles instead. In Colossians, Yahweh is not revealing the mystery of the Gentile church. He is revealing the mystery of who the lost nations of Israel are. In Thessalonians, Paul exhorts his kinsmen to increase in knowledge and abstain from race mixing, and that they should know how to possess their body in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of the desires of eating pork, being lawless, and worshiping Jewish Jesus, like the Gentiles that know not Yahweh. Paul tells his Israelite kinsmen in Timothy not to fall for the doctrines of Judaism, which the Gentiles love so much. Paul states again in 2 Timothy that even though Christ said, "Do not go to the Gentiles," that he is appointed as the teacher of the Gentiles. In Peter, Peter tells his Israelite kinsmen that they are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and that they are holy and peculiar Gentiles which were in darkness, as prophesied in the prophets, which stated that Israelites were these things. Peter may have been confused. He did need things repeated three times. In 3 John, Gaius was praised for taking nothing of the Gentiles. Gaius knew who his kinsmen were. He was teaching them the truth, and for his congregation to abandon false doctrine and hymie Jesus. That was for the Gentiles who love falsehoods and hymie. In Revelation chapter 2, those who overcome will be given power over the Gentiles. But how are the Gentiles going to overcome if they escape in the rapture? And if they return from rapture land, how are they going to rule over the Gentiles still stuck in tribulation? In chapter 5, a new song is sung, and every kindred, tongue, people, and Gentiles is redeemed. But how are Gentiles going to be redeemed when they were not even bought or promised redemption? Plus, the Gentile church teaches that the kingdom will not be on earth. It's in the sky, which is filled with fruit baskets and mansions. In chapter 7, which is a flash forward to Judgment Day, it talks about the 144,000 which were sealed of all the tribes of Israel. But the Gentiles won't be there because they're all saved and don't get judged. In chapter 10, the messenger tells John to teach again the Gentiles. He probably means when Israel used to be Gentiles and needed to be retaught. But that'll be hard because they all disappeared. In chapter 11, the messenger tells John to measure the temple of God and leave the outer court for the Gentiles, which the outer court was for the Adamic kinsmen of Israel, but now they were kicked out and it was given to Gentiles, even though it was never commanded to let those outside the race of Adam to enter. In Revelation chapter 15, the overcomers who have gotten the victory over the beast will sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, which are the old and new covenants. But it can't be talking about the Gentiles, because they don't sing or even follow the Torah of Moses, and they sing to Jewish Jesus. And besides, they didn't overcome. They sat in their pew until Jaime raptured them out of here. The last chapter of the Bible ends with the description of 12 fruits, which must mean the 12 Gentiles. But how can it? They don't do his commandments, and how can they enter the city which has the names of the 12 tribes on the gates? They can't. The kingdom will be filled with the race of Adam, and the city on the hill, Zion, will be eternal Israelites, which will be the government of the new skies and the new lands, and Yeshua HaMashiach as king. No king but Yeshua. Hail Yahweh.